You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to episode 28. I really do want to edit one of these. At some point, it's like you could argue it's like a lack of professionalism to always leave these things in.
You could argue that, but it's not my professionalism.
Sometimes it is.
It's yours.
Sometimes you have.
I've never messed up the beginning.
Not the beginning. All right. Welcome to episode 28 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President. What's with you?
What's going on?
I don't know. I don't know.
This is episode 28. Do it again.
Welcome to episode 28 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
This is the part where I set up Jeselnik saying some Deadwood quote no one's ever heard of.
In life, you have to do a lot of things you don't fucking want to do. Many times, that's what the fuck life is. One vile fucking task after another.
We're back. Feeling good.
Episode 28, almost to single digits. Comedy Central got 40. This is 28. That means 12 more.
Well, we haven't heard anything back. You've been saying at the top of every show the last week or two that you want a renegotiation of this contract, and it's been crickets. Should we be concerned?
No. I'm giving them plenty of warning. I'm sure they are aware. I talked about it for the first time last week, giving them 5 weeks before I go nuclear. and so I think we got plenty of time, and I'm sure they don't want me doing a TV show angry about the podcast. It will get fixed
because there's been some rocky moments in the history of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
That was not.
I don't
sexy.
Think they've been rocky at all.
I'm saying when this thing was first getting off the ground, I was reminded this week because.
You mean when we were negotiating whether or not
when
we
were first negotiating a year ago, I was reminded because the iMessages on my laptop started working for the first time in a year this week. And so the last text message between us was essentially a back and forth between me and you about the potential of this podcast. I'm going to read it from you. And this is from April. This is this week a year ago, April 3rd. Okay, new wrinkle in the podcast. I'm probably walking away from Comedy Central. They just don't know how to do a podcast, et cetera, et cetera. I'll know more tomorrow. Life is crazy. 99% sure I'm walking away from the podcast. This is in response to me. It's standards and control and all kinds of shit that no other podcast has to deal with. They just don't know how to do podcasting. I might be walking away from the rest of it too, just because they're Comedy Central and I'm Anthony Jeselnik.
Yeah, I don't remember. I mean, that was a year ago, but it sounds like I could have written it yesterday. I could have written that down on my way over here. I could have been like, hey, Siri, record text.
I like that you go third person in a text, you know, to your best friend.
Mm-hmm. When I'm fired up, you know what I mean? I don't turn it off. I remember that because we actually have, of all the people who have podcasts, deals at Comedy Central, we are unique and that they literally cannot tell us what to do. We were just like, we want to come here, but you guys are going to have standards and practices on a podcast. That's not what podcasts do. And they were like, okay, like we'll make it your deal that, what is it? What's the deal that like, it goes up immediately and they have 24 hours to take it down if we do something egregious.
It was an insane amount of power giving to you. I do like flipping through these text messages too, because 24 hours later you write, and just like that, Comedy Central is back.
Mm-hmm.
They're back in. They started freaking out, in your words, that the whole deal might blow up, and there you go.
Yeah, and that's why I'm here. I got a really good deal. It's not like I missed them. I just got a really good deal.
Thank you, by the way.
Yeah, thanks for hosting the podcast. Thank you, the TV shows, it's getting better and better. It's getting more and more fun the more we do it. I still have a few weeks before we have to start getting into production, but I'm very excited about the TV show. I think it's going to be, I think it's really going to be good. Even more excited for my Netflix special. fire in the maternity ward. This week I watched, I think I've talked about this, I don't watch any specials while I'm getting my stuff together because I don't want to like see someone's joke and be like, oh, I can't do that or have something influence me. So this week I watched like 4 comedy specials. I watched Jimmy Carr's Best Of, which was hilarious. I watched Jimmy Carr's, I'm a big fan of his and his jokes. I watched Nate Bargatze's The Tennessee Kid, which was amazing. Like, I loved it so much that I like had to text him and tell him about it. I watched one other one that I'm not going to mention because I could not stand it. And then one...
You know who you are.
And then one I finally watched... Hannah Gadsby's Nanette. And it was not at all what I was expecting. Like, I'd heard a lot about it. My manager had like chastised me for talking about Nanette so much without having actually seen it. She was like, it's ridiculous that you wouldn't say it that much. Again, I just like the word Nanette, but I enjoyed the special. I thought it was good. I don't understand why people were saying it's not stand up. It's not funny, but it was powerful, and I like anger in comedy. And I've read good reviews of her new one,
Douglas.
But Douglas, named after one of her dogs. But also one of the funniest lines of a comedy review I've ever read: I've never heard a crowd so silent.
Well, that's not good. That's not a good review.
I think that's what she's going for. If you've seen Nanette, I mean, people, there's not like the last 20 minutes is a lot of I'm in my prime, and not a lot of here's a joke.
It's disarming to hear you say Nanette without really pronouncing it. Nanette.
Nanette. It's, you want to whisper it. Nanette. But yeah, congratulations, Hannah. I finally watched it, seeing what all the hype was about. Another thing I had to deal with this week, I had to buy a new jersey, all right? Antonio Brown has been in the news a lot lately for destroying the Steelers. Almost single-handedly, and it's been upsetting. He was one of my favorite players for many years. I did my best to still have his back after he left. I'm happy for him. I root for the guy. But then he went after Juju. He went after Juju Smith-Schuster for no reason. He got mad that he was named Steelers MVP.
He was responding,
which is a nothing award.
He was responding to a fan who tweeted at him pointing out how Juju won team MVP, and it got so under, and I love that he's so petty, and it got so under his skin that he had to just come out guns blazing.
It's an award he's won 4 times. It's a nothing award. It means nothing,
except they never give it to their quarterback because he's a creep. But that's beside
the point. He's definitely gotten it before.
He's gotten it one time in the last 10 years, and he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Like, yeah. If that doesn't show you how much his coworkers dislike being around him,
that's how you know
does.
It's a nothing award, because he's getting all the money and all the credit. So give the award to someone else. Give it to someone who needs constant ego boosting, like an Antonio Brown or a wide receiver. But I was just like, you know what? I can never wear my Antonio Brown jersey again. I got to get a new jersey. Well, who's going to be safe? Do you know what I mean? Who's going to be something that I can like? So I went in the Wayback Machine, Greg. I got myself a Jack Lambert jersey.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I went classic. Because you've heard the rule that you're not supposed to wear a jersey of someone younger than you. That's like, and again, that's kind of impossible, but it's like an unwritten rule that it's like not cool to wear a jersey. You get a jersey and you stick with it.
It's apparently written, if you've heard of it or whatever, it's down.
I forget where I read it, but someone was like, that's my rule. And I was like, that's a good one. I'm going to try to follow it. So Jack Lambert, never do anything to embarrass me.
I mean, another way you could look at it is don't wear a jersey once you're an adult.
Listen, Pittsburgh Steelers fans know this. You have to have a jersey.
If you go to the game, if you go, it's the only acceptable place to wear it.
Pittsburgh's a different kind of place. I think you can wear the Steelers jersey. I got a Mario Lemieux Penguins jersey. I got a vintage jersey because I lost mine, the one that Greg got me.
I was going to say, I got you that.
Yeah, but yours was way too big. I got like a smaller one that I can like wear out in public. So Antonio Brown, stop messing with my boys. And by that, I mean Juju. Tell me about your week, Greg. I know that your wife is out of town. How's that going?
She's in Hawaii. It's going fine.
Do you think she's getting her groove back over there? You think it's just...
No, she's with my daughter, Alice.
Who would be a great wingman? You know what I mean? If she was trying to if she was trying to enjoy her life again, you know what I mean? And if only for a couple of days,
right.
Her daughter Ellis would be really very helpful.
I do notice people react strangely to hearing that, like, my wife and my daughter are going on a vacation without me and with my son. It's very similar to the reaction that I got when I would mention that they were going away for the holidays this year. Mm-hmm. Because the reaction, like, I told our preschool teacher, and they were like, oh, really? Is everything okay? Like, this is, and I say, open your minds. Like, the families that sometimes vacation separately stay together.
I feel like you keep Walker at home with you just to make sure Emeka comes back. Like, that if she went with both kids, you'd be like 50-50. Like, I might need to get a roommate situation.
He's like the safety deposit box that you leave when you...
Exactly. Like, you can't... You got to come back to him. But what... you told a funny story today. Your mom's in town staying with you.
Well, that was right when I came in. That wasn't intended for the podcast necessarily. But yes, as I walked in, I got a text from my mom who's... watching Walker now while I'm here, and mentioning that the burner on the stove was on for the last 8 or 9 hours since I left it for breakfast.
You've never once cooked in your house?
Well, pretty much. I was quite proud of myself that I like made eggs and, you know, cut up the apples with taking the skin off for Walker in the morning, got him to school. You know, I bring him to school every day, but usually it's not the whole shower and the changing and I'm not doing everything for him. So I was pretty proud, but now less proud that I could have blown up my house.
If you did blow up the house, if you had, and will you, like Emeka, I guess, listens to the podcast, she'll hear this. If you had blown up the house, would your wife be surprised at all?
No.
I didn't think so.
I mean, Ernesto, the owner of the house, would be pretty surprised. He'd be pretty disappointed. He grew up in that house, but other than that.
How about you, Erica? Anything fun happened this week?
Yeah, good week. Just, you know, doing what 27-year-olds do. Having a good time. Started
what does that mean?
I don't even know. It was my first kind of weekend sort of
chill.
She's
like, I was fucking.
Yeah, 3 times a day. Woo! No.
Back to that.
Yeah. No, just hanging out. Joined a softball team with some people from work. So that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Are you good? Are you good at it?
Yeah.
I mean, are you good at softball?
I know a girl who plays baseball. Like, she's on a baseball team. And she talks about it nonstop. She's always talking about baseball, and she's practicing baseball, and she's going to the batting cages, and she's really into the team, and they're going to make the playoffs. And one night I ran into a guy. We start talking, and he's on her team.
Oh, no.
I'm like, oh, my friend's in that team. And he's like, what's your friend's name? And I told him, and he was like, oh, she's the fucking worst. And I was like, that is so delightful to hear. She's like the bad player and they all hate her.
I do want to bring up before we, you know, move on to the next section, just kind of like circling around to something that came up on last week's episode. If you haven't listened, you know, the short version was Erica throwing me under the bus, and you throwing me under the bus, Anthony, for not knowing our camera guy Stu's name.
No, you threw me under the bus by telling me that it was his name.
Yes.
Oh, no.
And I put it on to Erica, who, you know, at the time when I first brought it up was like, I would never say that. Why would I not know his name? I know his name. Much like many things in Erica's life, she's so convincing when she defends a total lie. You don't even question her.
Not particularly. She just really goes... I mean, she's not that convincing. She just gets louder and louder.
She's so confident and responds right away that you're like, oh, well, I'm the one with the bad memory. I guess she must be right. But I went, you know, I went onto our Slack client here and found the Slack from December 12th here, Erica. And I said... You know, I ask, what is the video guy's name? And your answer is Stu. That's from December 11th, 2018.
That's Photoshop. You can't prove that's real.
I totally believe it's real.
Of course it's real. It's on my phone. It's everywhere.
I wrote Stu.
Stu H. And then you said, ask me. You wanted me to ask you on the show, which I really wish I did at the time now. And
that must have been when you were asking what he called him, because why would I say ask me so I could be like, remember when Anthony called him Stu?
No. This,
that
you're
makes
doing
more
it again.
Sense.
No. And I realize
that
I
makes way more sense.
I realize we're in the weeds here a little bit for listeners that maybe don't really care about this interpersonal drama.
Why would I be like, ask me?
I want to go to more of the global question for you is, why do you do that so often?
Well,
now that I know you and
you're,
I consider you a really good friend. And I'm trying to get to the bottom of this, that sometimes when I or anyone catches you like in a lie that you push back so aggressively? Why do you
I'm not lying. Why would I? Why would you ask me what his name is? And then I said, Stu H, ask me. Why would I say ask me on the pod, like live? Why would that happen?
Why would you say his name was Stu? No one knows what's going on inside that crazy head of yours.
You called him Stu.
I didn't call him Stu. I didn't use his name at all. That's why Greg asked you what his name was.
Exactly.
No, you referred to him as Stu, and he...
Listen, as someone who talks very confidently all the time when I know what I'm talking about 40% of the time, I understand, but just own it. Just be like, yeah, I stewed it up for you.
All I'm just saying is I don't know why I would have been like, ask me.
I don't know either. I don't know why you called him Stu and then you made me feel like a crazy person, but you did. And I hope you're proud of yourself. Stu is obviously listening to this somewhere on his honeymoon, totally disappointed that you didn't know his name.
He probably can't even perform right now on his honeymoon because he's so upset. He's probably having the worst time. His wife's like, his new wife is in the bathroom crying. He's like, Stu. Who's the man I married? It's a lie. Now let's go to, did we get any notes? It's like a Japanese video game?
A little salsa mixed with, you know.
You can use the word salsa there. Okay. Did we get any notes? No.
The song's
not really.
Called Salsa Real.
I like it.
Not going to argue.
You should.
Do we get any notes this week?
Well, I think Comedy Central at this point is, I don't know, afraid of emailing us. Although, by the way, I love you, Comedy Central, by the way.
Yeah, you do.
I do.
No notes, no ads either.
I want a
either.
Season 2. I appreciate you.
We'll see. And again, just come to the table and just start a conversation before we get into single digits. I don't want to be doing a TV show for you guys and doing my best, but having like part of my mind distracted.
And you know what?
I mean, part of my mind focused on what's going on with the podcast. That's why when a guy's got 1 year left in his contract, you re-sign him for the long term. So he doesn't have to freak out about it. He can just concentrate on playing the game and winning a championship. And if we go into the live podcast without anyone talking to me about this, you imagine what that live podcast is going to be like? It's going to be a shit show.
You don't want to go into the final year of the contract like that. I mean, in this case, you'd be like Russell Wilson right now, is looking to be the highest paid player in the league. I would be Ciara. You don't want that.
I want to make what Russell Wilson's making for this podcast.
My mom did give us a review, so I guess that's a note.
Your mom originally she was like not against the podcast, but what was her claim? Like
she was just a little uncomfortable with season 2. Thought it was a little hard edged at times, and a little negative, and didn't have the same spirit between us. But now she said she's got a new review. Listen to that, Comedy Central. That she really is enjoying the direction that it's taking. She thinks it's more focused now on our friendship. And that we're a good example for men out there of how to be supportive of each other as friends, that we have a unique friendship, and she thinks it's coming out more. So she thinks it's heartwarming.
This would be like Greg and I actually are best friends in real life, as well as like on the podcast. We're not like two dope queens who don't speak to each other unless they're on stage together. And then they're like, oh, what do we do this week? We're not like them at all. Again, that's Two Dope Queens on HBO. Check it out. And that was, did we get any notes? That was the Jennifer Lopez remix of Fat Joe's You're the One. Was that buzzing that Greg's phone was causing? Is that going to be a part of the beginning of the podcast? Mm-mm. Should we tell the listeners what happened?
I mean, now you can just cut out this entire part too. We're just giving you extra.
No, because then you're going to lose me naming that song. You don't want to do that. Greg had his phone too close to the mic for a little bit. Greg is, apparently, it's his first day in the world of podcasts, even though you have two of them.
I mean, through the magic of editing, she could get your Fat Joe response and then edit right after that.
Nope.
And then right through this entire part.
Nope.
None of it's going to happen.
I like it. You know what? You know what else I like? Besides letting Greg's embarrassments seep through the podcast, even though they're easily cut out. I like Erica Tamposi. Erica Tamposi is our producer. She's been with us for 27 of the 28 episodes. We don't even speak about the one she didn't come to. We don't even talk about it. It's like it never happened. It's a ghost episode.
That's right.
Erica Tamposi, she's got spunk. She's got moxie. She's got things to do. She's got a life that she lives. She's got nothing but potential and attitude. Has she ever once told the truth? No. But we are okay with that because her poker face is so terrible that it's almost like you ask her a question and then you know, not by what she says, but by looking at her face. So we like to give her a little corner to carve out for herself in the middle of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP. Junior Vice President.
And let her do whatever she wants, whether it's asking us a question, something that she's thought of, whether it's, you know, finding out what kind of lovers we would be. Which was fun last week. People enjoyed that segment. Or maybe throwing some viewer mail our way. Erica, shine.
Yeah, today I wanted to read a email because we haven't done a listener email in a little while. And so Russ Z asks, Anthony and Greg, my wife and I are expecting any day now and we're having trouble selecting godparents. Our siblings suck. Closest friends don't have kids or don't seem good with kids. What factors do you recommend we prioritize in selecting godparents?
This is a good one. And again, that's what's the email address if people want to have questions?
JRVP, Junior Vice President at gmail.com.
Yeah, JRVP, like the letters, and then Junior Vice President written out, all one word, at gmail.com if you want to ask a question. This is a good one because, like, I mean, it's more for Greg to answer. Like, my sister has two children, and I'm not godfather to either one. My brother got Paige, and they did. There was no, like, consideration of me. But theirs was more of, like, a spiritual, you know, godparent. Like, they had to go to a christening and do all that.
Missed me
with that bullshit. Yeah, they weren't. Greg wasn't doing any christening. There's no religious or contractual. Like, if Greg and his wife die, I don't get the kids. And that was used to be how godparents works, right? Am I wrong about that?
I thought if you guys died, it's your role to teach
that
the
you're gonna
kids
help out.
God.
But my realm is strictly the God realm. Like, I'm just strictly talking about religion.
Right.
Yeah. So it was largely ceremonial.
Well, first of all, I say bring the godparents back or take it out of the religious aspect and use it if you're religious or not. I mean, if you're like me and my wife, like we have small families. Why not? It's kind of like adding unofficially to your own family, and who doesn't like that?
I think
we have nothing to do with it religious.
I think it's putting someone else in the kid's corner. You know, it's like it's having an extra uncle or an extra aunt who's like going to get them a birthday present, you know, going to show up for things. It's a job that I took very seriously. When Greg asked me, I think people were surprised. But I've knocked it out of the park as a godfather. That I think that even if your friend, you like think your friend is a piece of garbage, or maybe has, you know, several substance abuse problems and a lifestyle that makes them basically a vampire, that you could still make them a godparent and they could turn it around. You know what I mean? They can like come back from the edge.
I don't know about that.
And
I'm a godmother.
Maybe their god kids will be the only thing that tethers them to reality and makes them not just float off the earth into greatness.
Well, that sounds like a risk. And I wasn't looking to take risks. Anthony was a sure bet. My advice would be, first of all, what's up with your family that your siblings all suck and you don't trust any of your closest friends? That's for the listener calling. So maybe you got to look at yourself a little bit there too. But I would say, you know, consider this is an appointment for life. Who's going to be consistent? Who can you imagine? Who's going to be in your life for life? And if it's not a person you're comfortable is going to be in your life for life, you know, they shouldn't be your god kid. The fact that, you know, your closest friends or siblings don't have kids, that's a plus. I kind of figured, you know, Anthony's maybe never going to have kids. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. That means like more attention and presence for my kids, which brings up another factor, money.
Yeah,
I mean, it can't hurt.
No, you want a rich godfather, you want a rich godmother, someone who can like spoil.
Can't hurt. I mean, Anthony said if something did happen to us, maybe he's not going to take in Walker and Ellis, but he'll help out them figuring out whatever's next. He'll pay for like a plane home or something.
What if I wanted to though? What if I wanted, if you guys passed away, like, is there a will that like, would they go to the grandparents in Japan? Would they go to your mom and dad on Martha's Vineyard, or would I have a shot at getting them?
We don't have one. We should. I mean, it would really depend on their age, but I would say both of our parents are getting old enough that I don't think they should be taking on kids at this point.
No, I want them. I if there was a thing we could sign that, like, if something happens to both of you guys, a car accident, I get both your kids, I would sign it.
I kind of figured you would, honestly, I kind of figured, like, yeah, you would maybe not take them in, like, if it happened soon, but you would help orchestrate, you know, what's going to happen for them next, or help out in any way you could.
I would take care of them financially for sure. Would I hug them? No. I mean, I think it's like a in your lifetime sort of thing. But once you're gone, I'm just writing checks. You know, where do you want to go to community college? I got you. You know what I mean?
And then I would also say, you know, the last thing would be, is there anyone that you love in your life that you feel close to that you feel guilty about, that you didn't make him the best man?
Mm-hmm.
That would be something. Or guilty even about another incident way back in the day that's just like, you just feel that you have to make up something to that person.
What do you mean?
That was for sure
to that person.
Part of it.
That helps in the weight off.
If Greg had not made me godfather to his firstborn child after not making me best man, like, we're not doing this podcast right now. Like, he had to. I think I even told you that I wanted to be godfather. And
you probably gave me the idea, because I didn't. The reason why I didn't have to was, it's kind of, you know, when I told my parents or almost anyone else about it, they're like, "What? You're having a godfather?" Because, you know, I'm not religious. I'm, you know, my parents are.
Is there a godmother?
No.
There. Well, there sort of loosely was. Yeah.
Renna. Who's Renna?
Renna, Emeka's maid of honor.
Yes, okay.
I think
Is she a godmother?
Loosely did it, but...
Is she godmother to both, or just Walker?
Just Ellis.
Or just Ellis.
I don't know. I don't know if that's continued on as formally, although...
Does she send presents every year?
She does, although her friends are so good, I feel like her three closest friends all do that shit, so... I mean,
Does she sign, like, your godmother and things, or she just says Renna?
She just says Renna.
Okay, so I'm the soul. Yeah, so I, you know, find someone you think has potential, and if they have money and fame, that doesn't hurt either.
It was the safest bet I've ever made.
Yeah.
It's going to last longer than the marriage.
And that was Erica's Corner. Shine on, you crazy diamond. What was the name of that song?
Venuto Night.
I thought I would have said Venuto Day if I was going to guess.
Yeah.
But Venuto Night. Greg, let's get to headlines.
All right. Our first headline is from Connecticut. Baseball just starting up there. And the police in Ridgefield, Connecticut are investigating a fire in which 25 gallons of gasoline were doused onto a baseball field by someone who thought that was the best way to dry out the field after heavy rain.
So it rained. It rained before a Little League game. Who was it? Was it the manager of one of the teams? It was like the home team manager?
It's unclear.
But somebody was like, "I'll dry."
Police are investigating.
Someone was like, "I'll dry the field so these kids can play ball," and then just lit the infield on fire using how many gallons of gasoline?
50 gallons, and you know, with that amount of. Firepower there, they lost, you know, they lost a little bit of control of it.
They've used helicopters in the past to try to dry off a field. Doesn't really work. Erica, do we have a video of that Little League game where they tried to dry off the field with the gasoline?
I mean,
you think they would have went, like, at what point did they call it?
They canceled the game. There's no games being played. It could cost up to $50,000. It's another reminder.
These kids just want to play a game.
Right. It's another reminder.
They're in this situation.
We don't have these problems in California. Like, our fires are natural and they're in the hills. We don't have to worry about you know, rain on a baseball field that you have to dry out for fires. It's no. another reason. Like, the longer I live here, the more insane it seems that anyone lives in the Northeast.
I'm just glad that this was a baseball, you know, this happened in a baseball game, not a football game, because there's so many more players on the football team. You know what I mean? Like, if you listen to that clip, you hear 18, 20 kids, you know, having a hard time. Play it again. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's like, they're in the dugout. They're worried. You know, I think most of them got out with minor injuries. Smoke inhalation will follow them forever. But I think that if it had been football players, that it would have been, you know, melted helmets and stuff like that. You don't need that. And these kids, you know, I just hope they get a chance to make up the game. And some adults moving forward find a better way to dry the field than burning a bunch of kids to death. You know, it's only the middle of April. I can't believe, like, that video is so good. I can't believe the cameraman didn't try to help them. You know?
It's like, that's part of the problem, you know, people say these days with the phones. You know, it's like, you're not really interacting with the life around you. You're just trying to document it.
If I saw 20 kids running around on fire, I'd probably pull my phone out. I'm not going to lie.
The next story is my favorite one. One of my favorites of the whole season. A daycare in Louisiana. It's not surprising this story is from Louisiana. Is losing its license to watch children after a group of four toddlers were able to escape the center's yard and walk to a parking lot where they were eventually seen very close by on a highway. Of the four toddlers walking and approaching the highway by themselves.
So four toddlers were like, we're sick of this daycare. How many toddlers were in the daycare at the time? Was it like one of those big ones?
It doesn't say. It doesn't seem like a too big of one. But they have repeatedly... this is not the first time that toddlers have escaped the facility.
What?
Another time last October, one child escaped. And now the state is shutting them down for negligence.
That's great. I think... I don't know if they should be shut down. You know, I think you want to reward them. Because if you have like an adventurous child, you know what I mean, where do they pick that up at daycare? You know, they get like different, they get their friends together and they go book to the highway as fast as they can. I mean, what was the worst that could have happened? They got the kids back.
I mean, the driver, it was actually a driver on the highway that saved them, that pulled over into the parking lot and then started telling people, hey, there's these kids, you know, these weren't like... you know, 4 or 5 year olds, walkers in preschool right now. They were between 1 and 2 years old.
How did they, is there a doggy door that they just like got
they
out?
Said that apparently I don't know. They were able to escape their yard. I don't know if there was a gate on it or what. And they just were set free.
I'm just glad these kids have a sense of adventure, a sense of wonder. I wish they'd made it further. You know what I mean? How many lanes would they have to get past before they made it into a movie? You know what I mean? Like, if you get across 3 lanes as a 2-year-old, then it's inspirational.
Right.
You know, 4 lanes, even better.
It's like a live action Frogger episode.
Mm-hmm. Imagine driving on the highway and having to swerve to miss 4 1 and 2 year olds. I can't.
I think you could.
I would never turn.
You could at least make the case that, yes, it went too far, but this is the type of daycare that teaches independence. Mm-hmm. That, you know, like, this is a kind of an era, and there's a lot of talk about it, of like helicopter parents, of that, like, kids now, you spend all your time with your parents. It's like, even up to 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, it's like, hey, we have to be with them all the time. And at some point, I think cultural and social norms are gonna change the other way. Maybe this is the way to do it.
You know, I didn't go to a preschool or a daycare. I went to Montessori school. And that was the kind of school, I don't know if you know what Montessori school is, but they just teach you from day one that the highway is awesome. That it is the place to be. We were always trying to get there. Good on these kids. And I don't know if the parents can complain. You know, did you get to go to work without your kids? Yes. All right. Did they scamper towards the highway? Uh-huh. But you didn't have to watch them. They're okay.
Well, they have to watch them now because the Color Wheel Learning Center, and this is in Prairieville, Louisiana, you know, has been closed down. They immediately shut it down. And so those kids do have the option, though, to go to one of two of the other locations for the same preschool, which is still open in Ascension and Baton Rouge.
Which exit is it off? Why would you build a wall and keep out songs like that? I don't want to get political, but this is what makes our country great.
Hmm.
Songs in different languages.
One of the
what was the name of that song?
Luchar.
Mm-hmm. Does it even say something close to that?
I mean, it says that. I don't know if it's pronounced that way.
You said it like you didn't have the title in front of you,
and I made it up. Would. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
mm-hmm.
You'll never know, I guess.
Well, we could find out.
You're on one today.
Did you just say Greg was on one?
Yeah.
I've never heard Erica so angry. Greg, what's our last headline?
Our last headline's from the great country.
This is my favorite story.
Yeah,
of the week.
I knew it was. You know it's the Anthony's favorite because it goes last. The great country of Brazil, where a judge this week ordered that a pair of identical twins both pay child support to a woman who is seeking a paternity result because neither one of them will admit to being the father. They are identical twins, and she knows that she slept with one of them. The paternity test for one of the guys turned up positive, but they made his identical brother also take a test, and that also came up positive, and now they both have to pay child support.
And she's saying that she doesn't know which brother she slept with.
How would she know? I mean, they're identical twins.
I'm sure their names are different. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I assume there's more to the story that she slept with both guys. She slept with both twins at certain points. Maybe one of the twins was like, hey, I slept with this girl. Now's your chance. Do you know what I mean? I don't know how twins work.
Well, they both denied. The first guy denied he was the father, even though the paternity test came back. And so that's why they made the identical twin brother do it as well. But there is more to the story. The judge in the case, who was livid, said it was evident that the defendants from adolescence took advantage and continue to take advantage of the fact that they're identical twins. It became clear that they have repeatedly used each other's name to attract as many women as possible and to hide instances of betrayal in their relationship. So this is like a long con that they do with lots of women.
If the judge says that about two people, why weren't they killed on the spot? Like if they're that, what's the word, insidious? With their twin behavior, you got to put them in separate prisons or you got to kill them on the spot. So, or mark one of their faces. You know what I mean? With like a brand, you know, that just says like twin.
Well, it worked. It's kind of, I mean, I wouldn't say it's really working out because it took a while to go through courts. And
but
you know,
now the kid's
9 years old. They are not splitting. That's kind of the twist is they're both paying
equal. They're both paying like as much, like the maximum.
Right, which is depressingly only $60 each a month.
What?
But apparently that's you know, above what you would expect for minimum wage, which is what they make in Brazil. So she's actually getting double what she would have gotten from either one of them. Like if one of them had just said, I'm the father, then they could have split it. And they would have been paying half, but instead they're paying double.
But what's to stop one of the twins from coming up and being like, here's your $60, and then she goes to the other twin, he's like, what do you mean I just gave it to you? You know what I mean? This could go on forever. You gotta brand their faces. You gotta brand their faces. And this kid's 9 years old?
Well, now, yeah, the girl is now 9 years old. It took forever to go through courts and all sorts of different things.
Is there any visitation?
I don't think they're too interested. It is, you know, it's kind of like a sad reality of, you know, did you have any friends that were twins? Two of my best friends were twins.
There were two sets of twins, the Nelson brothers and the McBride brothers.
Shout out to the VTechs, two of the best people I've ever known who weren't identical, but everyone thought they were identical. except for their friends or the people that really knew him, that could definitely tell the difference. And that's the type of thing in high school that everyone talks about. It's like, oh, Bob, you know, why don't you go do this and that? And like, you know, say you're Jeff to a girl. And then Lisa, you know, they like, everyone's always pushing twins to go in this direction.
Twins are screwed up. Like, I think we should go back to, you know, back in the day, if someone had twins and they were identical, they would throw them off a cliff. Very Game of Thrones style. You don't see a lot of twins on Game of Thrones. Of course, you know, the vampire twins from The Matrix Reloaded. Those are two of the worst people ever. Not a twin guy. And the twins in my high school, I remember their parents wouldn't let them do things without each other. They're like, what if something happens to one of you? We want the other one to be there. I think they had to go to college together too.
My friends went to college together, the VTechs.
If you're identical twins, I assume you're a flat out rapist.
Please. I mean, you could look at this from
give me one example.
The VTechs. They're clean.
I'll believe it when I see it.
You could look at this.
It's too easy.
In so many cases.
It's too tempting.
In so many cases.
Absolute power corrupts, absolutely.
What's that documentary? Three brothers?
Three identical strangers?
And there's so many cases, and I'm thinking of this with my friends who are totally different, totally different in terms of their personality, the lives that they led, the types of people, you know, they date, all that sort of stuff. You know, that happens all the time with twins. But you could look at this story as like, they're in it to win it. They've stayed like buddies this whole time with this scheme. Like they're very similar. Like they're close.
Yeah, but they're still making minimum wage in Brazil. Which is not like at the height of success. I'll tell you this right now. If I had a twin brother, I'd kill him. I wouldn't risk the temptation taking over. I would kill my twin brother.
Wouldn't you? I feel like you would be attracted to him though.
Of course. Of course I would. Are you crazy? He's my brother. I'm not blind. You know what I mean?
It would just drive you crazy to have this other guy
out
there.
It's one of the reasons I would have to kill him. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't sleep with my twin brother.
It would really be an amazing thing.
Like I would never sleep with my actual brother.
Yeah.
There's a 7-year age gap. but a twin brother, nothing wrong with that. But I would have to kill him. I would have to kill him.
It would be I don't know if this would be a movie, but it would be like a fun part. It would be a fun little twist to your life.
If I found out I had a twin brother.
if you had the comedic persona and career that you actually do have, but then you have this like, you know, dorky, jealous Anthony clone out there trying to take it all down.
I mean, you know, I do have family members who are less than supportive, who would destroy my career if they could, but I'm too strong. I'm too strong for that. That's right, Mom. I know what you did. And that was headlines. Let's take it down to
choo-choo
recommendation station. Greg, you want to go first?
I will go first today. I'm going to recommend Shakespeare, the first album from Anthony Jeselnik. How about that?
That's a good one.
I was thinking about this. I got so many good things to recommend. I'm kind of in this little lull in work where I'm reading a lot, watching a lot, and as listeners now have been telling me, I have great taste. But one thing I had to do for this Sirius XM show that is going to be on, when is it, April 19th?
Friday.
We have a week from Friday when we're taping this. We're doing a takeover, and we're prepping some clips. Anyways, I went back, I listened to Shakespeare, I listened to Caligula, the first two Anthony Jeselnik albums, and you kind of forget, you know, it's like I forget there's some bangers in there. Not that I'm surprised, but it's been so long. It's a nice time capsule. You can kind of see how Jeselnik's evolved. I mean, I have such a bad memory that most of them, it was almost like hearing it for the first time, and it was cracking me up, and it holds up well.
Thank you. And when I even go back and listen, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that one now. Like I put them out of my mind so I can move forward with new material. And I actually like, I will argue over this, that I like the audio version more than the special sometimes. Hmm. That I just think the way my jokes are written, that the audio, I can listen to it. I can listen to myself on audio. I cannot watch myself normally, except for Fire in the Maternity Ward.
Do you remember your jokes? Like, do you remember the joke that you start about your friend Kevin having cancer in Shakespeare, for instance?
My friend Kevin just told me he has cancer.
Nothing funny about cancer.
Yeah, I don't remember it. Tell me.
Now I'm gonna mess it up. Now we gotta really. I can't do it. I wanted.
Why'd you
Because I wanted you to tell it. I'm not gonna tell your jokes. Please
tell me the gist of it, and I'll tell you the exact wording. I forget what the twist is, but I remember liking the joke a lot.
Like, there's nothing. Yeah, there's nothing funny about getting cancer.
Oh, but it's the way he says it. Yeah, my friend Kevin just told me his cancer, and there's nothing funny about that. But it's the way he says it. Like, yeah, that's, I mean, that'll never get old. Cancer will be around forever.
Part of the reason I wanted to recommend it, and I know we should move on to, is I didn't realize these things are on Spotify. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess probably most people know that. And I have a feeling there's a lot of listeners to this podcast that haven't listened to those, that they became fans of yours further along, or they've seen you on TV.
Absolutely.
Or
a lot
whatever.
Of hear it in the radio.
And you should... It's worth going back. And it's also a time capsule of, like, you know, just selfishly our relationship, or just like a time thing. Like, Amy Schumer, first of all, introduces your first one, right? I recognize mm-hmm. her voice there. But I notice I'm the first person you thank other than your family.
Mm.
But in this,
were you at the taping? Did you make a taping?
That was at UCB. I think I might have been at that taping, but I just like a shout out to my, you know, important place in your life. But the second special, Amy Schumer actually goes before me, so I don't know if something was going on in our relationship at the time, but it's like, who's here now?
I think, you know, when Amy and I were together for a while, she just didn't let me, you know, she wanted to wait a year until we could consummate. So I think once that happened, then I was able to put her into the top of the list. Go listen to all my albums and get ready for Fire in the Maternity Ward on April 30th on Netflix. We'll be talking about that more and more. I'm gonna recommend two movies. I saw a movie this weekend that was very strange but interesting, worth seeing. It's called High Life, starring Robert Pattinson, a famous French film director. It's her, like, kind of sci-fi movie. It's basically about fatherhood and about prison that I thought was very interesting. If you called it boring, I wouldn't be able to argue against it, but I was, like, just totally blissed out watching this movie. I really enjoyed it. And then found out afterwards that, like, there were a couple, like, weird, I was like, something about the movie doesn't sit right with me. And then I found out that Robert Pattinson wasn't supposed to play the lead. It was supposed to be Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, a much older guy in that role would have changed the movie and, like, filled a lot of it in for me. But I enjoyed that. And then also I rewatched a movie last night. A movie came out 5-6 years ago called Only Lovers Left Alive, directed by Jim Jarmusch, I believe you pronounce his name. Tilda Swinton, Tom Hiddleston are vampires. And it's just a cool hangout movie. It's got some funny stuff, some great music, and it's just a great, great movie. So check those out. And now, Erica, do you have any?
Yeah. Just want to double down on what you said earlier today in the top of the show, Nate Bargatze's special, The Tennessee Kid.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually out at dinner with you when my mom texted me
humble
to ask.
Brag.
Yeah, my mom texted me and asked me to ask
it's
you
brag,
if you saw the special yet. So yeah. Now my mom is texting me to ask me your opinions on special.
Oh,
but
I mean,
it was great.
I think Nate Bargatze is one of the, if not, like, the funniest comic working today. Like, he makes me laugh so hard. And people will say, people will be like, oh, it's great because he's, like, clean when everyone else is being dirty. And it's like, but he's organically clean. Like, he's not like leaving out the swear words. This is, like, actually what he is like. So I don't even notice him as a clean comic.
Yeah.
The way I would notice, like, a Gaffigan, you know, is clean. That I just think he's incredibly funny and effortlessly funny. A good friend of mine, and I'm glad that this special has done so well for him. I feel like people really have noticed it. And I'm glad they're getting a chance to now, because come April 30th, no one's going to remember that anyone has ever put out a special before Fire in the Maternity Ward. It is that good. It is a game changer. And that was
Choo Choo
Recommendation Station. And now I'm going to take the sign off on my own shoulders and fly away like I've got a twin brother. Whoa, Nelly Furtado. That's a spicy meatball.
My friend Kevin just told me that he has cancer. And I know there was nothing funny about that. But it was the way he said it.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.